الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابي كالنجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. الحمد لله. My dear respected elders and friends, علماء كرام, beloved brothers in Islam, all praises are due to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us once again the ability to sit on the nisbat and on the basis of his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this sitting and use it as a means of najah and hidayat for us. My dear respected elders and friends, there are so many aspects in deen, there are so many tenets of deen and so on. Some things relate to amal, deed, action, and there are some things which relate to aqidah and belief. More often than not, from the mimbar we generally hear about the importance of bringing amal and deed into action. We know that this is the currency of akhirah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith qudsi that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates that Allah ta'ala mentions, innama hiya a'malukum uhsiha lakum thumma uwaffikum iyyaha faman wajada khayran falyahmadillah wa man wajada ghayra dhalik fala talumanna illa nafsa. The entire equation in the hereafter will be based upon actions and deeds. This is the currency of the hereafter. And then he said, I am meticulously keeping record of your actions and deeds. أُحْصِيهَا لَكُمْ. And then, ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. No person should believe that the system of the world is a frivolous exercise. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. If a person availed of the good opportunity in the world, and a person used this opportunity to carry out good actions, then Allah Ta'ala mentions, let him praise Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Whoever faltered, whoever slackened in this pursuit, let him blame none save himself. So my dear respected elders and friends, deeds is the actual, the basis and the fundamental, it is the currency of akhirah. However, more important than this, brothers, is actually our aqidah and our belief. Aqidah actually is that which a person ratifies on his heart. What is the condition of a person's heart? So my belief, we say we are believers, we are mu'mineen, we are believers. I believe in Allah, I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe in the Quran, I believe in the Sunnah. What is my belief with regards to Jannah, Jahannam, the life in the grave, and so on and so on. In deed and action, should there be a situation where a person faltered, there is an atonement. A person can make qada of that. A person missed his salah for whatever reason. There's qada and there is tawbah. However, my dear brothers, when it comes to aqidah and belief, this is something which is non-negotiable. A person has to be 100% spot on. So there are so many things as mentioned. And today's talk is actually devoted to what is our belief with regards to the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I want to use the narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, the famous companion radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to elucidate this. Firstly, we belong to the Ahlus Sunnah. We are followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well as his companions. So anyway, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, he says, "Man kana mustannan, falyastanna biman qad mat." He who wishes to follow anyone. If you want to follow anyone, then follow those who have already passed on. فَلْيَسْتَنَّ بِمَنْ قَدْ مَاتْ. And then he says, secondly, فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. Once a person has left this world, then we can be rest assured that, you know what, that a person left with iman, a person was a believer. As long as a person is living, there is no guarantee. Therefore, a person should never be complacent also. It is recorded in the Hadith Kitab, Sahih Bukhari, that there was a famous tabi'i by the name of Ibn Abi Mulaika rahimahullah. So he says, أَدْرَكْتُ سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I met with 70 of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one thing I can tell you about all of them was that كُلُّهُمْ يَخْشَوْنَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ النِّفَاقِ. Despite the fact that they were present with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many of them with his own Mubarak tongue, he gave them the glad tidings. But they actually feared hypocrisy over themselves. So where does that put you and I? So he said, "Man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qad mat, fa innal hayya la tu'manu alayhi alfitna." We know, brothers, sometimes even giants fall. So a person can retain his iman for the entire life. But in the last moment, if a person lost it, then a person has lost everything. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ حَبِطَ عَمَلُ. Everything is null and void. So further, he says, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who I'm speaking about specifically here. If you want to follow anyone, follow those who have already passed on. I'm talking about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, كَانُوا أَفْضَلَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. It is very important for you to realize that they are the cream of the ummah. They are the best. They are the best of the best. No one will equal them. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best people are those of my era. It is recorded in one narration that post the period of prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yaghzu fi'amun minan nas." There will be people. There will be a group, an expedition that will go out against the enemy. And they will engage the enemy for a while without success. Eventually the leader will ask that هَلْ فِيكُمْ مَنْ صَاحَبَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Is there present amongst you any of the companions of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that by virtue of the presence of the companion of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that army will gain victory. Subhanallah. And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that even in the second generation, يَغْزُوا فِيَامٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, a group will go out and a similar thing will happen until the leader will be inspired that is there anyone who even encountered one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, it's not a sahabi but a tabi'i, the second generation, somebody who met one of the companions. When he will be identified on account of the presence of this person, the army will gain victory. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a similar thing will happen in a third generation. So kanu afdala hadhihi al-umma ma min nabiyyin ba'athahu Allahu fi ummatihi qabli illa kana lahu fi ummati ashab ya'khudhuna bi sunnatihi wa yaqtaduna bi amrihi. There were in every generation those people who were aside the Nabi. They were present with him at his beck and call. They were those who were present in his gatherings. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the companions of Isa alayhi salam, the Hawariyin in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala says that they were those who were the diligent followers of the Prophet. Further, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, why am I telling you that they are the best in the ummah? He mentions three traits and three qualities that were present in them. أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا وَأَعْمَقَهَا عِلْمًا وَأَقَلُّهَا تَكَلُّفًا. When it came to piety, they were untouchable. We know, my dear brothers, that this quality of birr or taqwa, piety, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this governs every walk of life, you know, for a believer. And it's a totally independent discussion. So he mentions three things. أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا. Secondly, وَأَعْمَقَهَا عِلْمًا. That when it came to ilm also, they were unparalleled. The knowledge was not just superficial. It wasn't just Google knowledge. It was in-depth knowledge. And the third thing he mentions is that وَأَقَلُّهَا تَكَلُّفًا. They were people with minimal takalluf. Takalluf we can translate as least pretentious. People without complications in their lives. If we look at our lives, my dear brothers, it's all the complications that we have created in our own lives that has made, you know, just survival for a person so difficult. You know, a person will order a car. The dealership will phone him. We got your vehicle, it's available, two spec, everything you're looking for, all available. Whatever you ask, you can tick all the boxes, just one thing. You know, you ask for red stitches on the leather seat. Sorry, man, it came in black. Sorry, I'm cutting this call. Order cancelled. So we have gone to such extents, my dear brothers, that we have created complications in our own life. Whereas in the lives of Sahaba-i-Kiram, it was simple, straightforward, minimal complications. People at the time of marriage, boy and girl comes together, 6 months, 10 months, 1 year in advance, they are calling up a mashwara on a color scheme. What color are the serviettes going to be? So that's why one alim said that Sahaba-i-Kiram, these complications or these pretenses were minimal in their lives. As a result of this, there were not much demands upon the Sahaba-i-Kiram. As a result of that, there was no need for them to earn too much. And because there was no need for them to earn too much, there was enough surplus time in their lives. So everything, whatever surplus resources they had, be it monetary or be it time-wise, it could be used for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now compare it against our lifestyle. So much of pretense to please people, to appease people. Because of this, my dear brothers, this is not exaggeration. There are people who work three jobs just to survive, to maintain a lifestyle. So a person has to work. And he's working and he's working at the peril of his life and his health. And a person is earning and earning and his needs don't get fulfilled. So there is no surplus time, there is no surplus resources. It is this thing which Sahaba-i-Kiram used for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and friends, furthermore, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, اختارهمullahu لصحبتي نبيه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be in the suhbat of the Nabi. This is how we get this word Sahaba, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the good fortune of being present there. Present in his gatherings, traveling with him, reading salah behind him. So it wasn't something ittifaq. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine selection. Allah ta'ala mentions, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa min al-nas. Allahu a'lam haythu yaj'alu risalata. So anyway, this is a special selection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the next thing he mentions, wali iqamati dini, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used them as the foundation of deen. Now, any small building, brothers, can it stand without a foundation? Here the entire edifice of Islam, the grand superstructure of Islam standing on a foundation. So if you are going to remove that intervention of Sahaba-i-Kiram, that one link, then my dear brothers, where does that put you? Your deen is gone. You can never ever remove Sahaba-i-Kiram out of the equation. Therefore he says, فَعْرِفُوا لَهُمْ فَضْلَهُمْ Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that you must understand and realize their virtue. And he mentioned this for a reason. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also prophesied and he said that لَا تَسُبُّوا أَصْحَابِي, do not revile my companions. We'll come to that. And وَاتَّبِعُوهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِهِمْ, follow in their footsteps. وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ أَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَسِيَرِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا عَلَى الْهُدَى الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, follow in their footsteps, for verily they were on the straight path. So thus, my dear brothers, we come to the conclusion that with regards to Sahaba-i-Kiram, they are the students and the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were present in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They lived with him. They attended his gatherings. They were on expedition with him and so on and so on. They are the greatest awliya in the ummah. Nobody can reach their level. And the third thing he mentions is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them the criterion of truth. So to follow the sahaba ikram is actually following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, my dear brothers, it is now imperative upon each of us that a person love, respect and have the highest level of reverence and respect for the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now one part of today's lecture is actually devoted to the collection and the compilation of the Qur'an. We know, my dear brothers, that the sources of our Sharia are various. Qur'an is the most important. And if we have to remove Qur'an, my dear brothers, then you can have no foundation for deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility for the protection of the Qur'an. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرِ. And here again, it comes back to this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and selected the sahaba ikram for this. So it is very, very important, my dear brothers, that we realize how the Qur'an has reached us. So over a period of 23 years, Qur'an was revealed portion by portion. So over a period of 23 years, the Qur'an was revealed portion by portion to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were approximately 48 of the companions who were elected to be scribes. The first thing is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to dictate it to them. Secondly, he used to get the scribe to read out everything that was recorded. And if there was any kind of error, it would be rectified. There were two sahaba ikram who feature very significant in this entire episode. One is Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. And inshallah we'll end off with his biography today inshallah. And the second one is Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Amongst the other scribes were the A'imma'i Arba'a, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Ubay bin Ka'b, Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So whenever the Qur'an was revealed, Rasulullah s.a.w. used to recite it, he used to present it to the sahaba ikram. He would instruct them to dictate it back to him, and then any kinds of, you know, errors would be rectified. Furthermore, every month, on an annual basis, in the month of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make door. There used to be a process of muraja'ah, recitation between Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Jibril alaihi salam, who used to come with the wahi. And it is recorded that in the last year, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, two completions took place. Therefore, the ulama say, if a person is a hafiz of Qur'an, a person should make an effort in the month of Ramadan to fulfill this practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi salam, at least try to make two khatams. So, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the Khulafa'i Rashideen. The Qur'an was there, it was present on parchments, on pieces of leather, bones and so on. But it was all not together in front. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the one who prompted this entire move. It was the battle of Yamama which took place in the 12th year after Hijri. Approximately 700 of the sahaba ikram, those who were huffaz, who had the Quran retained in their hearts, they embraced shahada. So he takes this fikr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the world, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the khalif of the time. That, oh Abu Bakr, if this state of affairs has to continue, then we could lose portions of the Quran. So Abu Bakr tells him, Ya Umar, what are you saying? كَيْفَ تَفْعَلُ شَيْءٍ لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. How can we embark on something which the Nabi of Allah himself never completed? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is convinced, and he continues persisting with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, until Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu also sees the need. So he summons this sahabi by the name of Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is, my dear brothers, you know, very, very significant in this entire process. And many of us might not be knowing, but Quran, on whatever level, in whatever form, the ummah will always be indebted to him. Whether it be tilawat of the Quran, in salah, outside salah, any halqa of Quran, any hifz class, any tafsir lesson, and any mushaf, any copy of the Quran, all goes back to this sahabi, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an. We'll end off inshallah with his biography. So anyway, he took this momentous task. And he says that, you know, had they asked me to move a mountain, that would have not been as weighty upon me as, you know, this responsibility of having to compile the Quran. Now, my dear brothers, it was a daunting task to collect everything from everyone. The first thing that they took support from was that which was preserved in the hearts of the Huffaz. And the second thing is that whatever was recorded in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Sahabi had to come and he had to produce two witnesses to say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has accepted this. And it was also written in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, now Islam began spreading. And the Sahaba ikram, they took the teachings of the Quran to the various non-Arab lands. So it was, Arabic was not their mother tongue, because of which they were unable to articulate. So there was, because of this, there was some division. People were having differences with regards to the way. We know that the Quran is revealed in different modes of recitation. We heard something last week. One of the narrations we heard last week. It's important for us to know that Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all these forms of recitation. And what we have is just one of the 14. Anyway, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala an, along with Abdullah bin Zubair, Sa'id bin As, and Abdul Rahman bin Harith, they compiled the entire Quran in one single book form. Once this was completed, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu now takes it and he sends it into the various centers, the various marakis of deen, including Makkah, Medina, Basra, Kufa, Yemen, and Bahrain. So this was now a feat which was accomplished by Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from here he earned the title of Jami'ul Quran. Therefore the Mus'haf which we have in front of us, the copy of the Quran, is known as the Mus'haf-e Uthmaniyya. That everything was brought together and compiled in one book form. Anyway, my dear brothers, coming back to this, this personality, this great companion, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is recorded that he was an Ansari Sahabi. So he was one of the original residents of Medina, and the Ansar were divided generally in two tribes. Either they were Aus or Khazraj. So he was a Khazraji Sahabi. He was brought before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a tender age, and he knew 17 surahs. So his mother told him that, why don't you recite these surahs before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when he recited it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very impressed with his recitation and he made him a scribe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw great brilliance and excellence in him, and he was a person of exceptional prudence and intelligence. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he perceived some danger when corresponding between the Muslims and the Jews, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that he should learn the Ibrani language. So he learned the language in half a month, and he didn't just learn it, but he mastered it also. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that he should learn the Suryani language. Imagine learning an entire language in half a month. And then he learned the Suryani language in just 17 days. He was selected as part of the panel of jurists to issue fatwa and verdicts in Medina Munawwara, alongside great Sahaba ikram like Umar radiallahu anhu, Ali, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and so on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said that وَأَفْرَضُهُمْ زَيْدُ بْنُ ثَابِتْ, that the person in the science of inheritance, the person most well versed, is Zayd bin Thabit. Should you have any queries with regards to any matters in the science of inheritance, he is the person for you to go to. He was classified as the ulama of the Sahaba ikram. And he is the ustad of Abu Huraira, Abu Sa'id Khudri, Abdullah bin Umar, Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and so on. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu on one occasion sees him and he says that innahu shabun la tattahimuk. He is a youngster, he's an outstanding youngster whose integrity is impeccable. He is an outstanding youngster whose integrity is impeccable. In the battle of Tabuk, there was a Sahabi who was holding the standard. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees that, he goes and he takes it away, and he hands it over to Zayd bin Thabit. So that Sahabi inquires that, O Prophet of Allah, what is the meaning of this? So he says, no, Al-Qur'anu Muqaddam. The one who got the Qur'an in his heart, he will be at the front. And on one occasion, he was in communication with, he had a conversation with Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. And they were parting ways. Now imagine, Abdullah bin Abbas is the mufassir of the ummah. Such a great sahabi. And they complete the discussion and now they are parting ways. So as he is about to climb his horse, Abdullah bin Abbas makes a retreat. Quickly he goes and he catches hold of the saddle or the stirrup on the saddle of Zayd bin Thabit. So Zayd bin Thabit says, you are the cousin of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the one Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for you. You are the mufassir in this ummah. So he says, هَكَذَا نَفْعَلُ بِالْعُلَمَاء وَالْكُبَرَى. This is the way we treat our ulama and our kubara. So we make dua to Almighty Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true love of the sahaba ikram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from reviling them. We'll end off with this one narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the last era, there will be people who will revile my companions. And he said that there will be various denominations. The ummah will divide into 73 factions. 72 are condemned. Only one will go to Jannah. And then he said, the one to go to Jannah will be ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, those who follow me and my companions. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us the true love of the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And may Allah Ta'ala unite us with them on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.